And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal. But everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, 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 welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. One of the great privileges that I've had in my career is that some of the folks that I've been able to meet through government service, and now by doing this show with all of you every day, is that some of the people who you come across eventually become friends. And it is especially and deeply humbling when those people are also people whom you admire a great deal. And my next guest, I am very proud and humbled to call not just a friend, but someone who I look to as a mentor and someone who is a thoughtful public servant, honest even when painful, and an all-around great guy. It's a real pleasure, Peter, to have you with me today on my last day in this 2-4 time slot, ladies and gentlemen. I got former congressman, former secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, Peter Barca. Welcome back to the show, Peter.
Well, great to be with you, Maggie. I'm back at you. It's terrific to be with you once again. I've done the show quite a few times, and it's always very intellectually intriguing and usually pretty vibrant discussions.
Yes.
And now there's more to talk about than maybe in the last 20 years.
Yeah, it is. It seems that I am always breathless, not because or just because of my emotional state, but breathless because it's almost impossible to get through all of the important news of the day, even in 2 hours.
Right.
Peter, I wanted to ask you about Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, whom just said some really bonkers stuff about 9/11. And my take is that Ron Johnson has always been sort of a ready and willing peddler of falsehoods. And Ron's a smart man. You know, I don't think he believes much of this stuff, but Ron knows how to use both techno speak and like the right little nugget of truth to sort of fool the unwitting into believing the big lie, right? And he recently said some stupid things, untrue things, conspiracy theories, if you will, about one of our nation's greatest tragedies, 9/11. Let's take a listen. This conversation that the senator had over a long period of, it was much longer. We've distilled it down to its most essential nugget.
Okay.
So take a listen, Peter.
Because I'm not familiar with
yes,
it.
Yes, so. I love it. We can learn together. Let's take a listen. This is Senator Ron Johnson. I believe this news broke just yesterday.
What would you like to know about September 11th, the official story there, Senator?
Well, start with Building 7. Again, I don't know that you can find structural engineers other than the ones that had the corrupt investigation inside NIST that would say that that thing didn't come down in any other way than a controlled demolition. I mean, you just look at that. You talk about molten steel. Again, you listen to the documentary Bravo 7. There's an awful lot of questions.
An awful lot of questions? A controlled demolition. I mean, what the man's saying, at least by my listen, Peter, and I've listened to the longer cut, it's basically 9/11 was an inside job. Like somebody meant to do this. The government knew about it. This wasn't a terrorist attack.
Mm-hmm.
What a disgrace to the memory of all those people who died that day. But what a Ron Johnson's stock and trade seems to have become betray the middle class and betray fundamental your obligation to tell the truth as an elected official in a way that undermines democracy. I mean, he's a January 6th conspiracy theorist. He's the old mouthwash cures COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Global warming's good because less Wisconsinites will die. Screw the, you know, states on the coast and anybody, you know, in sub-Saharan Africa. And now this. I mean, when you hear this from someone who holds one of the most powerful positions in all of government, I mean, there's only 100 senators. What is, you're a longtime public servant, Peter. What's your immediate reaction to that, both on an intellectual and just an emotional basis?
Well, it's shocking on so many different levels. I mean, first of all, his implication that NIST somehow jimmied the evidence to cover, you know, to protect this cover up is just shocking. I mean, I just don't know, you know, what interest and, you know, they would have in doing that. But then secondly, the other thing that's sort of just so puzzling about it is George, you know, W. Bush was president. So as a Republican president, I mean, if you were going to implicate a Democratic president, which he does with great regularity, that would be one thing. So it's hard to understand, like, does he feel like George Bush did this in order to make himself look good, to then stand up for, you know, the American people? I mean, I have no idea what in the world he's trying to
the end game.
Suggest or what the point is of bringing this up. I mean, he obviously must feel that somehow, you know, there was some inside job. It's what he's claiming. But I think it really cries out for, you know, for him to come clean and say, okay, then tell us what it is you suspect and why you think that there was some inside effort here.
And, well, I mean, his claim, just in the clip we heard, and I've heard similar allegations, that, hey, I'm a structural engineer, and I don't think it was possible for this building or that to come down in this way. My response to that as a lawyer, right, is I heard, for example, bite mark experts tell me that they had exact matches based on certain science. I have heard fire marshals tell me, well, this is clearly arson because of this burn pattern. And it was wrong, mm-hmm. right? Like, science isn't completely infallible. And finding one or two, you know, tail of the bell curve structural engineers that provide an opinion that that couldn't happen. When I'm sorry, Ron, what other controlled tests of jet engine fuel based explosions in large towers of nearly 90 stories have you seen? But like,
right. No, that's perfectly expressed, Maggie, because, you know, like you said so articulately, maybe it is the end of the bell curve that something of this would occur. But then again, you know, there aren't a lot of instances where we've been able to study this. Now, granted, you know, science can replicate things
correct.
In a lab. But, you know, labs are not perfect either because, you know, it doesn't control wind flow. It doesn't control other independent variables that could have come to play here. But to get off the wonkiness side of the equation, I mean, it's like, you know, he must have some theory then of who he thinks is
right.
responsible for this. So he should say who in the world it is. I mean, you know, as you indicated, he's in a very powerful position. There aren't too many people that have been elected to three terms.
And
have
access
Senate,
to people. Then, people often presume, right? You hear a senator or even a crackpot like MTG say certain things, and people assume you're in a better position to know than I am. I
right.
don't know any structural engineers. I might not know what NIST is. By the way, I think it's the National Institutes of Science and Technology.
That's exactly within, it.
If I'm remembering
That's
my
exactly
acronym,
it. So. That's exactly it. I mean, you've got people who are engineers that, you know, they obviously, as he indicated, came to the conclusion that most people would rightfully come to because, you know, we did in fact find out what terrorists were responsible for this. And
right.
thankfully we got the mastermind of it all. So why he thinks that there was some other inside collaborator on this Building 7, I think he's referring to, I mean, just it defies common sense. So, but even if he does have some theory, then he has a responsibility, not just throw out things like he unfortunately does way too often
yes.
without any evidence, without any, you know, completing the theory and instead just fomenting people's fear and worst instincts that maybe we do have, you know, bad people at play here and, you know, kind of feeds this whole, you know, deep state theory that there's this deep state of people controlling everything.
Yeah,
and
their names are like
healthy.
Pete Hegseth, Samuel Alito,
at
Clarence
this point,
Thomas.
That's right. I mean, sadly, at this point, you know, we've got serious issues here. But But nonetheless, you can't, you know, responsibly put things out like that and then not complete the sentence and complete where it is you're coming from. I just think it's totally irresponsible, and it's unfortunate.
Folks, we got former congressman and former secretary of the Department of Revenue under Governor Evers, Peter Barker, friend of mine, now a friend of each and every one of you. I'll just say this about Ron Johnson. Everybody knows that friend from, I don't know, high school or college that is the BS artiste of like the highest level, where they drop a couple techno speak terms and they kind of sound like they know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. But because you've known this person for a long time, you're like, nah, they're just full of it. They read something about 5 minutes ago or heard somebody that actually knew what they're, and now they're just spitting it out. Rojo reads like that to me every time I hear him talking, except when Rojo defends all of the tax loopholes and tax breaks for the richest of rich, rich, rich Americans. So I wanted to talk with you about this next, Mr. Peter Barker. And that is the influence of money in politics. Let's start with a really simple question, because we got to take care of a little business, then we'll come back on the other side. Here's my question. Peter, if you were a member of Congress or a senator or a governor, would you support a constitutional amendment to declare that money is not speech and that we can regulate the spending of money in political campaigns?
Oh, in a heartbeat. Absolutely. I have in the past. I continue to. I think it's one of the most corrosive effects on, you know, elected, you know, politicians today. And just, you know, they have an inordinate effect. And Citizens United, I believe, is one of the worst decisions ever. But, you know, the irony of Citizens United and Justice Scalia, who wrote, you know, at great length on this opinion, one of the things that he includes, which people forget, and even though I disagree with his decision to be for Citizens United, he also said that what needed to go along with that was complete transparency on where the money came from. And we don't have any of that.
Folks, we got former Congressman, Secretary of the Department of Revenue under Governor Evers, Peter Barker. You're going to want to keep it locked. We continue to discuss the actual deep state and the actual swamp that comes from billionaire overlords deciding policy that impacts good middle-class families like yours and mine right here in the state of Wisconsin. Keep it locked. Our great discussion continues. 855-752-4842. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.